Mother and daughter took other small steps outside Richmond's social order. They sold a piece of real estate John had owned to two free black women. They hosted Swedish novelist and feminist Fredrika Bremer, who visited the United States to witness American slavery and found herself immediately attracted to Elizabeth as she showed her Richmond senior auction blocks. Elizabeth toured Europe and made regular trips to Philadelphia to be among ideological soulmates. Richmond friends caught her muttering incendiary statements like, "The Negroes have black faces but white hearts." On city streets among strangers occasionally, she impulsively engaged in arguments about slavery. Both women did little to hide their sorrow over John Brown's hanging. They had corresponded regularly with Brown and Frederick Douglass. Yet they modulated their views to a degree. Eliza and Elizabeth were not overt abolitionists. They largely lived double lives, conforming outwardly to the South's social conventions while privately taking steps to subvert them, like secretly freeing blacks. For better or worse, they were attached to Richmond's elite. Elizabeth remained devoted to the South. Northerners were just as complicit in maintaining the slave system, she felt. "These Negro whips were made of the North cowhides," she once wrote. To flee Richmond just to be among those who agreed with her would abdicate the responsibility Elizabeth felt she had to improve the condition of blacks in her home and in her city. She could reconcile the deep moral qualms she had with living in slaveholding Richmond, so long as she could continue chipping away at the system. Blacks in her household predicted to her that slavery would bring down this new Confederacy. Elizabeth agreed. Her private journal became her refuge to vent about the brutal treatment of blacks, the poor creatures suffering punishment for any little thing.